This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. There's a new traffic jam each morning that I've noticed at the end of my street. It began the week after school let out. It starts about 8:30 every morning. The stream of minivans and SUVs waiting to turn into the parking lot of the church at the end of my street to drop the kids off for summer day camp. It's a scene being repeated all over Michigan. Kids being hauled to one organized activity or another, from computer camp to theater camp to dance camp to summer swim club meets, and you get the idea. And Michigan radio sports commentator John U. Bacon has a question. Whatever happened to good old-fashioned playing in the summer? And with summer starting tomorrow, John, I thought we should explore this with you a little bit. Now, do you mean, hey, whatever happened to the days when you blasted out the door after breakfast, you maybe came home from a sandwich at lunch, and then you were gone until mom called you in for dinner?
Yes, exactly. In fact, our rule was probably your rule. When the lights come on, you have to come home. And that was your mom, quote unquote, no more, no less. My parents had no idea, I don't think, for the most part, where we were. They might have a general sense that you're with the Bogards or the Smiths or whatever. Yeah. But otherwise, we're up to ourselves, and when you make your own games, it makes you more creative. It also makes you, I think, more mature in terms of you've got to settle your own disputes. If it's a do-over in baseball, you do a do-over. If you cannot resolve the argument, the game's over. So without any parents involved, without any umpires or officials, you have to resolve your own arguments. And we played three-man baseball back then. I mean, we played all kinds of crazy games, home run derby, you name it. And all my friends who did this, who now have kids growing up, they do regret the fact that they did not have the same kind of fun, their kids, that they had. And it's hard to get that back.
And it's interesting. When I think about what's behind all of the organized, scheduled sports and activities, don't you think there's been a real major boost in the parental worry factor? And let's say, comparing the way we grew up, I grew up in the 60s. And you think about in Southeast Michigan, you had the Oakland County child killings in 76, 77. You had the huge national story with the murder of Adam Walsh in Florida. That was in 1981. And then since then, there's been pretty much, it seems to be, a nonstop stream of similar crimes. Have those left today's parents unable to let their children be unsupervised?
I'm sure they have, and you cannot blame them, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's not the point here, of course. And the difference in the 60s and 70s versus now is, I'm sure that, you know, bad things have happened to kids throughout history, undoubtedly, but we did not know much about those things. Mm-hmm. And now the Amber Alerts and so on, you know within 2 minutes on cable TV, yeah, what's going on and where it's going on. And therefore, we're probably all more attuned to it, perhaps rightly so, but it has to make you paranoid. And therefore, structured sports, being on that van, going to soccer camp, mm-hmm, looks pretty appealing.
And so kids are losing out in what ways?
I think, like I said, the spontaneity they lose, the creativity, the ability to resolve their own disputes, and also just the freedom to enjoy your summer. Man, there's a reason why we're so thrilled when school got out, because all of a sudden we had no supervision for about 2.5 months. Now when school gets out, you're on a van just going to somewhere else. And that can't be, a lot of kids I know simply don't like these things that much, but they have to go. Now, I think one other thing that's changed is in my neighborhood growing up, in your neighborhood growing up, man, anyone on that street was allowed to grab me at any time and scold me as needed.
Keep now, you in line.
Exactly. Now you wouldn't even know your neighbors. So I think my parents would have felt much more comfortable with me around the neighborhood, knowing that the whole neighborhood knows who we are, mm-hmm, and is looking out for us and know, you know, where trouble is afoot.
Watching out for that bacon boy.
Exactly, those bacon boys.
What do you say to today's parents then who say, well, fine, I don't know who's living three doors down. I just don't, because that's the way neighborhoods are.
This is a problem without an easy solution, because if you want your kid to play on the garage hoop and so on like the old days, mm-hmm, drive through any neighborhood and you'll see a lot of hoops and nobody playing on them. In the old days, every hoop had three or four kids, you know, playing, mm-hmm, their games and whatnot. Okay, let's say you want to pull your kid out of soccer camp. All right, play with whom? Everyone else is at soccer camp. You need a critical mass of kids in your neighborhood to make this work. And right now, that's just not going to happen. So I don't know really what you can do to solve this problem other than to have some, you know, some time in the backyard with the neighborhood kids to themselves.
I suspect that some of this is apart from the security concerns, because I mean, I remember when the Oakland County child killings,
sure,
were happening, that you know, we're feeling that today. There's probably also a degree of the modern parent who is pushing their kid to build that resume. So activities that'll help you win that swim meet or that dance competition or look good on a college app.
It's a brutal world, man. And my essay at Michigan out of high school, I put an X through it. I was not going to fill out the essay. I had a 3.5 from high school. That would not they'd send me an X back today.
They saying, would.
You're not going anywhere. And it was just easier, I think. I don't know if I would get in today at all. And it's much more competitive, and not just academically, as you say, the extracurriculars, the sports, the vice president of your class, whatever it takes. So there's a sense that you need to specialize in sports or the oboe or theater. You need to drop everything else for swimming. You need to drop everything else for soccer. And I would like to say this strongly as a former high school hockey coach and baseball coach. Mm-hmm. That stuff is crazy. There are two players I coached at Culver Academies who made it to the NHL for 7 or 8 years. These are serious players who played on Olympic teams and so on. They were both captain of the golf team. They did not touch a hockey stick or ice for 3 or 4 months. They were fine. The burnout factor is grossly underestimated, as well as the damage to joints and so on. You talk to orthopedic doctors. The 20-year-old women they're seeing who played soccer their whole lives have got 40-year-old knees. It is we're wearing out the same joints, doing the same thing every day for 2 hours. That part is crazy. That can be stopped.
And mentally as well.
It's needing, a chore.
Needing to rediscover the love of whatever it is.
Exactly. I used to be the high school hockey coach here in Ann Arbor of the Huron River Rats. Chew on that one for a second.
I love that name.
Yeah, exactly. We're very proud of the River Rats, actually. But I told my players, I said, you know, yeah, we have a summer team. If you're not here, it's not a problem. Go play golf. Go play lacrosse. Play something else. And my players came back hungrier for hockey than everyone else's players. And, man, in January and February, the burnout factor again, even on a team basis, is grossly underestimated. If my guys were still looking forward to coming to the rink in February and your guys weren't, if we're within 2 goals, we're going to beat you. Because my guys don't want the season to end. Everyone else did.
Food for thought. In our last minute, give us your favorite summer memory, game or some kind of memory.
Man, the games you don't see anymore, capture the flag, kick the can, all run by kids. I became a catcher in baseball because as the smallest kid in my neighborhood out of 20, it's the only way I could play in the game is to play catcher. And I still know all those kids' names. I still see them around occasionally, and we all tell the same stories. Who tells any stories about soccer camp?
I have to ask you about the bologna game.
Doggone it.
I didn't get out
very
without
quickly,
the bologna game.
Bologna game, we were allowed to come home for lunch during school. Our parents may or may not have been there. So we took slabs of Oscar Mayer bologna, whipped them up to the ceiling. If you do it right, Cindy, it sticks on that new latex paint perfectly. And that's the first part of the lunch meat biathlon. The second part is when it falls to earth, you've got to take at least one bite out of it or else your score doesn't count. These are rules that we came up with. And therefore, you have three little boys around the one little boy whose bologna is left screaming in his ears, trying to get the bologna to fall on his face so he can take a bite and say, aha, I win.
The bologna game.
There are no bologna game camps.
You can just have fun with it. Have a great summer, John.
Cindy, you too.
Michigan Radio Sports commentator John U. Bacon.